Welcome back, everybody. Today, we're going deep on procedural content generation PCG, you know, in video games. It's everywhere right now. And we were actually inspired by a blog post from Level Up.
Oh, cool.
They're like this amazing resource for game devs. They even have this master's program. It's for technical art and advanced VFX for video games.
Wow.
And it's offered online and live, which is super cool. But before we get too ahead of ourselves, what exactly is PCG?
Well, think about it this way. Imagine a video game world, but instead of like painstakingly crafting everything by hand, it's all created by algorithms. Like you've got your landscapes, your dungeons, even storylines all coming to life through code.
So it's like the game is designing itself in a way.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
It's more like giving the computer a set of rules and then letting it run wild within those boundaries.
And that's what's making it so popular these days.
Oh, absolutely. PCG is like the hottest thing in game development right now. You see it everywhere from huge open world games to those like super intricate puzzle games.
But it can't just be about like randomly generating stuff, right? There has to be some kind of like art to it.
You hit the nail on the head. It's not enough to just have a procedurally generated world. It's got to feel meaningful, engaging, and most importantly, fun. That's where the real innovation comes in.
So how did this all even start? Where did PCG come from?
Believe it or not, PCG has been around for a while. Like one of the earliest examples is this game called Rogue. It came out way back in 1980.
1980, that's like ancient history for video games.
I know, right?
Oh.
But back then, they were already using PCG for dungeon layouts, so every time you played the game, the dungeon would be different.
That's pretty clever. What is the thinking behind that back then?
It was all about replayability. You know, back in the day, games didn't have the massive budgets and resources they do now, so developers had to get creative to keep players engaged.
Makes sense. So PCG was like a way to make a game feel fresh every time you played it.
Exactly. And it worked. Now, fast forward to today, and you've got games like Minecraft and No Man's Sky, which are pushing the limits of what PCG can do.
Oh, yeah. Minecraft, with those massive procedurally generated worlds, it's insane. And No Man's Sky, with its like 18 quintillion planets or something like that.
It's ridiculous, right? And each one of those planets is unique, ready to be explored.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So how does it actually work? What's going on under the hood?
At the heart of it all are algorithms, sets of rules that computers follow to create content. But there's this important distinction between true randomness and what we call pseudo-randomness.
Oh, okay. Break that down for me, because I feel like those words might scare some people off.
Sure. So think of flipping a coin. That's true randomness. You've got a 50-50 chance of getting heads or tails. There's no way to predict it.
Gotcha.
But with PCG, we often use pseudo-randomness. It looks random, but it's actually generated using specific formulas and starting values called seeds.
So it's like controlled chaos. You're setting the stage for randomness, but within certain boundaries.
Exactly. And that control is key for developers, because by using seeds, they can reproduce specific results even within a seemingly random generation process.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like in Minecraft, if two players use the same seed, they'll end up in the same world.
Precisely. And that's led to these amazing communities where players share seeds for unique creations. It's like a whole new level of creativity and collaboration.
That's really cool. Okay, so we got these algorithms working their magic, but what are some of the like big players in this whole PCG orchestra?
There are a bunch, but two of the most common ones are Perlin Noise and L-Systems.
Perlin Noise? I feel like I've heard of that one.
Probably because it's used a lot in generating natural looking patterns, like for terrains, like in Minecraft, for example, the mountains, the valleys, the caves, all that organic flow of the landscape. That's thanks to Perlin Noise.
Ah, that's why it feels so natural, even though it's procedurally generated.
Cool. And what about L-Systems?
Those are a bit different. They're really good at generating more complex structures, especially branching patterns like trees and plants. They're like the architects of the virtual forest. So each algorithm has its own specialty. It's like a toolbox full of different instruments, and together they make this incredible symphony of a game world.
That's a great way to put it. And just like with a symphony, there's a conductor making sure everything works in harmony. In this case, it's the game designers. They're the ones guiding the PCG process and shaping the overall player experience.
Right. It's not just about letting the algorithms go crazy.
Yeah.
It's about weaving them into the fabric of the game's design.
Exactly. Which brings us to the fascinating world of design implications. How does using PCG actually change the way we think about game design and the experiences we create for players?
Okay, let's get into that, because it sounds like we're about to level up this whole PCG conversation.
I think one of the coolest things about PCG is that sense of wonder and discovery you get when you're exploring a world.
Yeah.
And knowing that around every corner there could be something you've never seen before. Like you're the first one to find it.
Right. It's like being an explorer charting new territory. But how do developers make sure those discoveries are actually, like, meaningful? You don't want players just finding random junk all the time.
That's where design comes in big time. The algorithms might be generating the content, but it's the designers who decide what that content means and right. how it fits into the game world. Like, take Terraria, for example. It's this 2D game where you explore and build and fight.
I've heard of that one. It's got that pixelated art style, right?
Yep, that's the one. And it uses this technique called tile-based generation. It's like a giant mosaic where each tile is a different element of the world, like grass, stone, trees, you name it.
So the algorithms are basically deciding how those tiles are arranged.
Exactly. And that's what creates a unique world every time you play.
So it's like having a box of Legos and you can build whatever you want.
Kind of, but the designers set parameters for the algorithm.
Oh, okay. So there's still some control.
Exactly. Like, they might decide that certain biomes should have specific types of tiles. So a desert biome would have more sand tiles, while a forest biome would have more trees.
Makes sense.
And within each biome, the algorithms can still create variations, so no two deserts or forests are exactly alike.
That's pretty cool. So it's not just random chunks of terrain. It's like these coherent areas that make sense in the world.
Right. And speaking of making sense, let's go back to those L systems we were talking about before.
Oh, yeah. How do they create stuff besides trees and plants?
Well, they're actually part of this broader concept called grammars, which are basically sets of rules for generating complex structures.
Okay.
Imagine writing a set of instructions for how a plant should grow, like rules for branching leaf placement, the curve of the stem.
I'm with you.
That's kind of what a grammar does for PCG.
So instead of just making a static model of a plant, you're basically programming its DNA.
Yeah, you could say that. You're giving it the potential to grow and evolve based on these predefined rules.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Are there any games that use that technique in a really interesting way?
One that comes to mind is Townscaper. It's a really chill game where you basically paint houses onto a grid, and the algorithms use grammars to generate these awesome little towns.
I've seen screenshots of that game. It's crazy how simple mechanics can make such detailed environments.
It is. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. PCG can be used for so much more than just landscapes and structures.
Like what?
Think about generating characters, quests, even whole storylines. The possibilities are endless.
My mind is blown.
There.
But before we get too carried away, let's talk about the challenges of PCG. Because it's not all sunshine and roses, right?
Definitely. One of the biggest challenges is balancing randomness with control.
Right, because you want the game to be unpredictable, but not frustrating.
Exactly. You want those surprises, but they got to be enjoyable and not break the game. Finding that sweet spot can be tough.
I bet. What about the story side of things? How do you create a cohesive narrative in a procedurally generated world?
That's a really good question, because if everything is being generated on the fly, how do you make the story feel meaningful?
It's one thing to generate a cool dungeon, but it's another thing to make that dungeon feel like part of a larger world.
For sure. A lot of developers are experimenting with this idea of emergent narratives, where the story kind of arises from the player's actions and the generated content.
So the story is like evolving as you play.
Yeah, like imagine a game where the choices you make directly affect the world around you and shape the narrative in ways you wouldn't expect.
That's super ambitious. How do you even make sure the story makes sense?
It's definitely tricky, but that's what makes PCG so exciting. It's forcing us to rethink how we tell stories and create immersive worlds.
It feels like we're just scratching the surface of what PCG can do.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the future, what's next for PCG? What are you most excited about?
Well, one area that I'm really excited about is the combination of PCG and artificial intelligence, like machine learning.
AI and PCG. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a powerful combo. What could that lead to?
Well, imagine algorithms that can learn from how players behave.
Okay.
And then use that information to adapt the generated content on the fly.
So the game is like changing as you play it based on what you do.
Exactly. It would be like a truly personalized experience, like a world that was made just for you.
That would be incredible. But how could you even program something that complex?
That's where machine learning comes in. Instead of like hard coding every rule and possibility,
right.
You train the algorithms on tons of data and they learn patterns and make predictions.
So it's like teaching the algorithms to think for themselves.
In a way, yeah. It's about giving them the tools and data to create experiences that wouldn't be possible with traditional programming.
That's pretty mind-blowing. It sounds like that could really free up developers to focus on the bigger picture, like the overall design of the game.
Exactly. Instead of getting bogged down in the details, they can focus on the overall experience.
So is this AI-driven PCG actually happening now? Are there any exceptions?
No.
It's still early days, but there are some cool experiments out there. Some developers are using AI to generate dialogue music, even entire levels, based on player input.
Wow. So the line between what's designed by humans and what's generated by algorithms is getting blurry.
Yeah. It's this really exciting fusion of creativity and technology.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
It's like we've come a long way from those early days of PCG.
Yeah, yeah. It's been amazing to see how far it's come and where it's going.
It really has. We've talked about the how of PCG.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned something earlier about the why, like the importance of creating memorable experiences for players.
Right, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Hey.
All the technology, the algorithms, it's just a means to an end.
Yeah.
The real goal is to create games that people remember long after they finish playing.
And PCG has the potential to do just that, to create these truly unique and unforgettable experiences.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into PCG, I want to leave our listeners with a thought. Think about the why of PCG. What kind of games do you want to make? What stories do you want to tell? How can you use these tools to push the boundaries of game development?
Those are great questions to think about.
They are. And if you want to explore this topic further, definitely check out the Level Up blog post that inspired this deep dive.
Yes. And for those of you who are ready to take your game dev skills to the next level, Level Up also has a master's program in technical art and advanced VFX for video games. It's an amazing resource for anyone who's serious about making games.
Well said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of PCG.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep creating, and keep diving deep.